Imagine being around the holiday table and having someone pull out a sound recording of a family member you barely knew or a relative you'd only heard stories about. That's essentially what poetry researchers are experiencing right now at Harvard. WBUR's Kurt Nickisch reports on a technology that's bringing the voices of poets, silent for most of a century, back to life.
In the warmly lit Woodbury Poetry Room at Harvard University, researcher Mary Walker Graham is unwrapping a sealed wooden box like a gift. Inside is a sort of gift to the English language, a black record, a disc, the only one of its kind in the world.
It says in wax crayon in the center, it's written directly on the disc, Canto 56, Part 2.
It's a master recording of Ezra Pound in 1939, reading part of his epic poem, The Cantos. But the disc is falling apart.
You can see that the lacquer is beginning to come completely separated from the metal base. It's far past beginning, actually. This is what we would call advanced delamination. Once it gets to this phase, obviously it can't get anywhere near a needle. This is completely unplayable.
It's just one of thousands of archived recordings here of some of the most important poets of the recording age, T.S. Eliot, Sylvia Plath, Robert Frost. The curator of this archive is Christina Davis.
It's a very humanizing thing. I mean, I think audio archives, because it's so connected to the body and breath, in a way that text is somewhat divorced from, you know, kind of reunite us with the total body.
But the voices on many of these brittle early records have been dead, silenced for nearly a century, too damaged to play until today. Mary Walker Graham has always wanted to listen to a fragile T.S. Eliot recording with a written note saying extra word at end. She's been dreaming about that extra word.
Where instead of in the end of his famous poem, The Hollow Men, which everyone knows the line, the world ends not with a bang but a whimper, I had a dream that it was not with a bang but a chicken cluck. Just last night. So we'll see.
They are going to see and hear, thanks to a new service from the nonprofit Northeast Document Conservation Center, NEDCC, in Andover. Starting this month, the center is offering a preservation technology called Irene to museums, archives, and private collectors.
Irene can do something that no other technology can do, which is put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
NEDCC director Bill Viette says his laboratory traditionally preserves paper documents, books, maps, photographs, often by taking high-resolution images for posterity. Now, the center has begun taking pictures of voices.
This part's easy.
Audio technician Mason Vanderloot is operating the Irene machine. It's a high-tech turntable that looks more like an industrial workbench. As the fragile record slowly spins, a 3D camera takes high-resolution pictures of the microscopic scratches etched into its grooves. Then, Vanderloogt uses computer software to convert the images of the microscopic squiggles to sound. Sound that had been lost to the ages, like the one gouged side of a Robert Frost recording from around 1940.
That's the second side of this recording where the engineer scraped out the recording so nobody would play it. And we get to go against his wishes and find out what's on it anyways.
On the side not taken is this poem.
The roads not taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood.
Each time the software comes across the gouge that you can see in the image, there's a pop, but that's an accurate representation of the disc that we have.
This invention, named Irene, was inspired by a story on public radio.
And at that time, I was driving back and forth to Silicon Valley.
Carl Haber was stuck in a traffic jam listening to his local public radio station when a story came on about the endangered state of archived sound recordings. Haber's a physicist at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. He was studying the surface of silicon, trying to understand its shape and how particles reacted on it.
And And then I heard the thing about the sound recordings, and that idea about looking at images of particles turned into looking at images of sound. It's just one of those accidental things.
Woo! Oh, I need to speed up a little.
Now Haber's accidental eureka is creating sonic euphoria at Harvard's Woodbury Poetry Room. Researchers Christina Davis and Mary Walker Graham have been devouring all the sound from decrepit records that Irene has saved. They were delighted with poet Marianne Moore's normal speaking voice, something you never hear in commercial recordings. They recovered the only Wallace Stevens reading of It Must Change from 1954, part of his poem Notes Toward a Supreme Fiction.
A single text, granite monotony. One soul face, like a photograph of fate.
Stevens scholar and literary critic Helen Vendler says this newly recovered recording added to her understanding of him.
It's important to hear the way he hears his own lines, because that isn't always conveyed on the page.
Among the sound recordings that have been saved is that T.S. Eliot record from 1947 with the mysterious note about the extra word at the end. Here's what that extra word is.
What shall I cry? We demand a committee, a representative committee, a committee of investigation. Resign, resign, resign.
That's it. Just an accidental cut-off word at the end of the recording. It wasn't a chicken cluck, but it was close. Mundane or poetic. That's the power of this technology, unbreaking broken records. So that the fading voices of the 20th century don't go out with a whimper, but come back with a bang. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kurt Nickisch.